Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 343. Today, I choose peace. Senior Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, November 5th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So I'd like to begin to my message today with prayer. Let's just pray. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would be enlightened and know the hope of our calling, that we'd know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and that we would know especially the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it flow in our lives in a mighty way today, as never before, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we live in a really, really crazy world, and there's some crazy things going on across the globe, but many of those things are spilling into our own nation. If you think it can't happen here, you should really think again, because terrorism and violence and demonic activity know no boundaries, and certainly our nation has a good share of those kinds of things already going on, even before this war. But as those things go on and spill into our nation, you know, the outlook from the natural standpoint is not very good, because the violence that you saw happen to those villages in Israel could very well happen in our own city and the communities around us. Evil is evil no matter where it happens, and it comes from demonically inspired hearts that are given over to the things of Satan. And so we continue to pray not just for the nation of Israel and for the things that are happening there, but also for the nations of the world, which are feeling the effects of it as well. But in times like this, there's a prophecy from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah declared, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you," which is an interesting prophetic utterance. Title of my messages today is, "Today I Choose Peace." So the prophet said this: you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So where you put your trust and where you keep your mind is really, really important in these days, especially when all of this stuff is going down. Because a lot of times we feel really helpless and sometimes hopeless in the face of events like these. The prophet here was talking about, he was actually talking to righteous and faithful people. He was assuring them of God's ability to give them peace in the middle of the storms of life. So there can be a lot going on around you. There can be stuff going on in your family. There can be stuff going on in your neighborhood. And even so, even when that stuff is going on, you can be a person of peace and a person who's filled with peace, and you can infect the atmosphere with the peace that's on the inside of you. Because if you have no peace inside of you, you have nothing to give to anyone else. So God wants to keep you in perfect peace, but in order for that to happen, you have to keep your mind really in the right place. And sometimes it's really difficult to do, especially when all of these things are coming over the news and all the media and everything that we have access to watch and to see. Some of those things, really, really horrific things that nobody should have to ever see. So when he's talking to these people, he says that he has made a way for every believer to be saturated in peace, even in a world that's at war and is overflowing with hatred and violence. So in the video we saw just a few minutes ago, you saw how something that you would never probably see on the news media of our day, you saw Arabs and Israelis working together to help others, to help people who are in need. And they're doing it irrespective of whether the people are Jewish or Arab, or whether they're Muslim or Christian, or whether they're of the Jewish orthodoxy. So God makes a way for believers to be saturated in peace. But you have to be a partner in that. You have to be engaged in that. You have to have a heart for that. And you have to keep your mind in the right place, because if you don't, you'll be taken down with the rest of the hopeless cases that have lost hope. So when everything seems really crazy and feels crazy, you know, a lot of times we're led by what we see and by what we feel. But prayer to a faithful God is a powerful game changer. You know, sometimes we just say prayer changes things, and we say it kind of flippantly and maybe not really engaging in prayer ourselves. I mean, it's one thing to know it and to just say it, and it's another thing to really do it, really to engage in prayer to God, believing that He's going to make a difference, that it's going to change things. Sometimes when we see the hopelessness of situations, you know, we even give up in prayer and back off in prayer and let our prayer be either quiet or sometimes non-existent. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing." Some of the translations say, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Verse 7 says, "Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." So God has wonderful peace for you today, and it's peace that He can even transcend or supersede or overflow. In spite of what you think it could do, it can flow over you in really spectacular ways. So I came across a message this week as I was preparing for this about a simple prayer that we can pray when things really, really get crazy, when things around us are crazy, or when things in our lives go crazy, the prayer of peace. So there are four basic elements to this prayer of peace, and I want to talk just a few minutes about them, and then we're going to end in prayer before we have communion today, before we partake of communion. The ultimate sacrifice of the blood of Jesus made to bring peace into the lives of men, women, young people everywhere for all generations. Praise the Lord. So the first thing is you have to choose peace. Number one, I choose peace. That's why I entitled the message today, I choose peace. Verse 6 of Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. In other words, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. It says that in the Passion Translation. So faith is a choice and fear is a choice. Which are you going to choose? You start it really with a decision. In the Psalms it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So you can choose to have faith, or you can choose to walk in fear. I will not look at what's going on in my world through the glasses of fear, because if you do, fear will take you down. Faith always builds you up and takes you in the right direction, but fear will take you down. It will affect your attitude. It will affect your emotions. It will affect every aspect of your life. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing, and it's really the opposite of faith. Faith is the substance of things we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. But fear, on the contrary, takes us to places we don't want to be and don't want to go, because many times even our fears are not based on the reality of the situation. They're based on things that are going on in the inside of us and things that are influencing us from the outside. So you have to choose to walk in faith and put away fear. So the news has their perspective. They always do. But you have to have your perspective. And if your perspective is based on the Word of God and based on the promises of God, it can be a game changer for you to take you out of a place of fear and put you into a place of faith. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So if we're not accessing what's available to us to change our position from fear to faith, then the problem is with me. It's not with the people on the outside or what people are doing or what people are saying or what's going on in the world. It's my choice of what I'm going to do with my life and how I'm going to build my perspective according to God's word or according to the things of this world or the news media or all those other kinds of influencers that are there. You know, the gospel of TikTok is probably not going to take you in a good place. It just is not designed to do that. It's designed to otherwise fill you with fear and take you to some really, really bad places. So you must choose to have your perspective and keep your perspective and be saying to yourself, it's going to be okay. We know it's going to be okay because we know the final outcome. There may be difficulties and trials and troubles along the way. We may be experiencing some things ourselves that are not such nice things. But we know the outcome of faith, the outcome of prayer, and the final outcome of what the Bible says it's going to happen, we know is a good one because God has a place for all of us. Jesus went to make that place a beautiful place, and through faith and through prayer and through intimacy with God, we can come to that place even before our time ends on this earth. So I'm not talking about just, you know, die, go to heaven, and be happy forever after. I'm talking about your life today, tomorrow, next week, in the middle of problems, in the middle of troubles. The Bible and the Old Testament is full of stories of people of faith who went through some pretty horrific things. You know, the three men who experienced the fiery furnace, the Bible says that they were put there because of the jealousy of other people. They threw them in the fire, and even the soldiers who threw them in the fire, threw them in the furnace, died throwing them in. But when the king looked in at those three men, he said, hey, this is amazing. I don't see three. I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And the three men came out of the fiery furnace. They weren't singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. There was no smell of smoke upon them and no evidence of the fire upon them. And then they were elevated to a position of prominence in the nation. So we may have to face some fiery furnaces in the time that we sojourn here on this earth. But the good news is we have the fourth man to walk through the fire with us. And the Bible says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And there are many, many other examples we could talk about today, but I won't because of the brevity of this message, because we're going to receive communion in a few minutes. So the first thing is choose peace. Don't be anxious about anything, just choose peace. The second is to pray with faith. I pray with faith because the word says in the sixth verse of Philippians 4, it says, let your requests be made known to God. In the book of James, it talks about when you pray, you should pray in faith, because if you don't, you're like a wave that's tossed back and forth. And it kind of ends that part of that scripture in James. It says, don't let that person think he will receive anything from God. So if we're being tossed back and forth, that's not a sign of walking in faith. So we need to be saturated with prayer every day and pray in faith each day. So how do we do that? We do that by finding our situation in the Bible. In other words, what in the Bible applies to my particular circumstance or situation that I'm going through? Or what are the things that are affecting me, and how does the Word of God change that? So when we do that, when we look for our situation in the Bible, that really makes sure that we're praying according to God's will. The Bible says that if we pray according to God's will, he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So we can pray then in confidence. So a number of years ago, God taught me how to overcome fear. It was not a pleasant time. And sometimes, you know, we learn things and grow in things through some bad experiences. So I was unemployed at the time. The bill collectors were knocking at the door. It was not a good time financially because of a business reversal and because of some things other people had done and left me with the bills. But during that time, I learned to pray and to have faith. I learned how to walk in faith. But in the middle of that, I was also slammed with a lawsuit. And it was for more money than I even imagined even existed in the world. It was like crazy big. And I'll be honest with you, I was really struck with fear. You know, the police officer dropped off the summons to court. And when I read the letter, I was just gripped with fear. Because already things were bad. How could they get any worse? But they did get worse. And I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. I had no clue what to do. So I did at least have enough composure to pray and ask God what to do. And in the middle of that, God began to minister to me. And he took me to Isaiah chapter 41. Maybe you should just turn there. Isaiah chapter 41. Starting with verse 10. So this is the word that God gave me to deal with this situation. It's Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Well, that's pretty good news for somebody that's going through big problems and troubles, right? That God is with us and that he's there for us. Then he says, "I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now that's good news too. Not only is somebody for us, but he's going to hold us up. You know, when we're about at the point of collapse and about at the point of dismay and on the verge of being destroyed, to have somebody hold you up and help you is a tremendous thing. Verse 11 says, "Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced." Now, that's not a bad thing either. You know, so I know it says in the New Testament, you know, we should love our enemies and bless those that curse us and all of those kind of things. But it's kind of good to know that God is on your side. And when he says that somebody that's against you is going to be disgraced and ashamed, you know, that's between him and them. It's not you putting a curse on anybody. It's just, you know, God takes care of stuff. And he knows how to take care of stuff. Amen. He can take care of stuff in a big way, in a good way, in a powerful way, if we just let him and get out of the way. Amen? So then it says, "They shall be as nothing." Wow. "And those who strive with you shall perish." And we don't wish that on anybody. But if God doesn't and takes care of it in that way, I mean, that's, again, his business, right? Verse 12, it gets better. "You shall seek them and not find them, those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing." So, you know, I'm reading through this for the, maybe it wasn't the first time I ever read this, you know, because I've read the Bible before. But I was seeing this through some new eyes, to be honest with you, because now I was pretty desperate and I was really needing some encouragement and I was really needing something. And I began to see, you know, if God has the last word on this thing, I'm going to be okay. I can't say that first day that I read that after receiving this summons that I, you know, I just totally threw off fear. And, you know, everything was good from there because there were many days ahead. So then he says, They shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Verse 13, he says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So now God's speaking to me heart to heart, and saying, don't be afraid, I'm going to help you. And I can't tell you exactly the comfort of that. That it brought me that day, that first day. But it was pretty immense. It helped me through. It helped me get through the day, put it that way. Because I kept thinking about that. You know, God's on my side. He's going to help me. He's going to take a hold of my hand. He's going to hold me up. He's going to take care of all of this stuff, you know, which is just like I'm drowning in it now. And he's going to take care of me. So the next day I picked up that letter and I read it again, and just like the first time I read it, it gripped me with fear. And I thought, that's just not right. I was okay yesterday, and now today I'm not okay. Because the court date was coming. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go back to that scripture. And I pulled out the Bible, I put the letter down, I pulled out the Bible, and I read this scripture again, all those things I just spoke to you about. And I was encouraged again for at least a few hours until I thought about the letter again. So for a number of days, I would pick up the letter and be gripped by fear, and I'd pick up the Bible and get some relief. And then I would pick up the letter and I would be gripped by fear, and it was going through this crazy cycle. You know, every day was the same, and nothing was changing. I mean, I couldn't see that anything was changing. You know, the bills were still piling up. My wife was answering the door to the creditors. They wanted to turn the electric off. They wanted to do whatever. It was not nice. It was not fun. And I'd go out to the woods and I'd pray myself back into place and then come back and try to face the world. And I was still unemployed and still no money coming in and nothing seeming to work. And fear started to come back again. And then I picked up the word again. And it said just the same thing it said yesterday and the day before and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that. So days kind of melted into weeks, and finally one morning I just got annoyed. I said, this has to stop. You know, I cannot be gripped with fear when God is telling me he's helping me. I am not going to stay in fear. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live the rest of my life this way. And I'm not going to commit suicide either. I'm going to hear from God, and I'm going to let that stick. So I said to God that morning, I said, you know, that letter's on my desk, and I know that you know that what's in that letter. I know some of what's in that letter. I haven't even read the whole thing through yet. I don't even know what the court date is. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm not picking that thing up again until I can laugh. And if the court date comes and goes and they come and haul me off, that'll be your problem, not mine. But I'm not picking it up until I can pick it up and laugh. And the next day, I didn't pick it up and read that. I just picked up the Bible and read that. And the day after that, I didn't pick it up and read it. I just picked up the Bible and read that. And the day after that, I did the same thing. And then, I don't know how many days had passed. It probably was most of a month. I guess the court date hadn't come yet because they hadn't come and hauled me away. And I didn't get any new, fresh letters. So I thought, you know, this is working and I'm feeling different about this. And so finally one morning, I thought, you know what, I think I can pick up that letter and laugh. So I picked up the Bible first. I read the scripture. And then I said, God, now I'm ready. And I picked up the letter. I took a look at it, and I laughed. And I can't tell you how fast it happened. It was like within seconds, God spoke to me. And he told me to call this attorney that I had met in one occasion. I met him at some, it was some kind of worship thing or some kind of a Christian event. I met this guy. I didn't know him. Only I knew he gave me his card, and his card was laying on my desk. And God said, call that man. I mean, it wasn't an audible voice. It just was inside of me. Call that man. I said, why? He said, don't ask why. Just call him. So I called him. And he remembered me for some reason. I don't know why exactly. And he said, what's up? And I said, well, not some good things. I have to tell you about this letter I got. And he said, well, can you send me a copy of it? I said, yeah, I could do that. He said, well, send it to me. Let me take a look at it. So I sent it to him, and he took a look at it. And in a couple of weeks, he called me back. And he said, it's taken care of. It's dismissed. I said, it's dismissed. I was so taken aback, I didn't even ask him how. I just said, you mean it's really dismissed? He said, yeah, it's dismissed. And I thanked him profusely. And then I'm thinking, I'm going to get a big bill for this. But you know, that man never sent me a bill. I never saw him again. I never heard from him again. And I never got a bill from him. But the case was dismissed. Because God said, you shall seek them and not find them. Those who are contending with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. It was like this never happened. It was like it was a bad dream. It was a long one, though. But I learned that day that I could choose to walk in faith, or I could choose to be filled with fear. Now, this scripture is pretty broad, and it would apply to most any case that you have. Because when trouble comes to a believer, it's usually not, sometimes people blame God. So I'm not even going to say it usually isn't God, because it mostly is the devil attacking you, finding ways to get at you, finding ways to get under your skin, finding ways to find you. But you have a choice to make when that stuff is happening. You can decide you're going to walk by fear and let fear overtake you, or you're going to get in the Word of God and fight back. So my advice is, find the scripture that fits your case. It doesn't have to be this specific one, although this one would work a lot for a lot of people in a lot of areas. But when fear comes knocking at your door, you have something to answer it with. Answer it with the Word of God. Because the devil has to back down to the name of Jesus and to the Word of God. And your faith is still the substance of the things you hope for. It's still the evidence of the things you cannot see. So don't be dismayed and don't be afraid. Just stand firm in the things of God and stand fast in the liberty, the freedom with which Christ has set you free. And don't get entangled again with the yokes of bondage. Fear is a yoke of bondage. It's a huge yoke of bondage. And it will destroy your peace. It will destroy your faith. It will destroy everything around you. So, you can come to the place where you say, Lord, according to your word, I can give this problem over to you and not carry it myself. That was really the big lesson that I learned, is I could choose to carry stuff myself. I could take it on myself. I could try to defend myself. But I found out that God was a greater defender. So first thing that we talked about was choose peace. Second thing was pray in faith based on the Word of God. Third thing, third principle or element of this prayer of peace, I thank him in advance. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 again, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. TPT says it this way, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. So the prayer is not really finished until you're giving thanks. Why would you thank God before it goes away? Because for you, if you're standing in faith, it's already taken care of. It's not a matter of whether you see it or not. It's a matter of whether it's taken care of or not. So behind the scenes, this attorney was working his business, doing something that I could not do, and getting a result that I could not see. But it was as good a finish as finished the day that I talked to him. Because God said, call him. You may say, I haven't seen anything yet. But you don't need to. You don't need to see anything. Because faith is the substance of things not seen. Of hope for, evidence of things not seen. In the book of John, the 5th chapter, 1 John 5, verse 15, it says, and we know he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request we have asked of him. So we can say, Lord, I thank you in advance for the answer to my prayer about this particular situation. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. It could be similar to what I was going through. It could be totally different. It could be some other aspect of life that you're facing, some challenge to your to you or to your family or to a family member or your workplace, whatever. This works for everything. But you can be in perfect peace because your mind is fixed on God if you get into his word and take these things to heart and do them. So you choose peace, you pray in faith, and then you begin to thank God for the answer. Thank him before you even see it. So much power in gratefulness and being grateful. And then the final thing is, the fourth element of this is, I guard my mind. So if you look at verses 8 and 9, it says that there are some things we should think about. Think about these things. And then it says, and the God of peace will be with you. So I had to learn that, you know, over a period of days and weeks, I had to learn that the God of peace was going to be with me. Whether I was feeling it or not, or whether I was seeing it or not, didn't matter so much as to know inside, to know in my heart that he was undertaking the situation for me. You know, Sister Ellie, when she shares a lot on internet, she says, God is for you. Just remember God is for you. Keep remembering God is for you. It's important to know that. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? So, I know we're the microwave generation, so we want to see things instantly. We want to see the, you know, pop it in, pop it out. I think Jerry Savelle said one time that somebody was going to come up with a new fast food place. It was called Toss a Burger. So you don't ever have to even stop. They just toss it in as you drive through. But most things with faith don't work quite that quickly. But the important thing is they work. It works. It works beautifully and awesomely for a person who will exercise faith. So this is something that you grow in. This is something that you can be encouraged in. This is something that you can walk in. And this is something that you can encourage others in. But you have to be engaged in order for any of it to begin to take hold for you. and with you. Guard your mind, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is, and then Paul tells you all those things that you should keep your thoughts on. What are those things? He tells us to guard our thoughts and only allow things that are true. Now, there are a lot of lies out there. You know, sometimes when you go on the internet, which you probably do too much, which probably I do too much, you can't really tell if the person is telling the truth or not telling the truth. You know, the fake news kind of things, you know, comes to mind, but it doesn't even have to be fake news. It can be a half a truth or a twisted truth. But you should keep your mind on and allow only things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, excellent, and worthy of praise. So if your thought life is straying, all you need to do is pull this scripture out and say, and measure what you're thinking by those, what is it, 7 or 8 things. You can gauge whether you're keeping your thoughts on the right place. Is what I'm thinking about right now true? Is what I'm thinking about right now honorable? Is what I'm thinking about right now just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? That rules out probably 95 to 99% of stuff, right? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? That takes care of the rest of it. The moment a thought of worry or fear or anxiety attempts to barge into your mind, knock it down. Blast it with the word of God. Say, no, I am not thinking that. I'm thinking this. And then pull up the word of God that he's put on your heart and let that rule in your heart and your mind. Amen? Patrol your thoughts. If a thought knocks on the door of your mind, look through the peephole and keep the door of your mind closed and locked. Refuse any outside thought that doesn't fit that verse that you just selected, the one you said you were going to stand on, the one you are putting out there in prayer, the one you are walking by faith for. Praise the Lord. So in this crazy time, learn the four principles of the prayer of peace. Choose peace, pray with faith, give thanks in advance, guard your mind. Let me just, before we close, read through Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9 from the Passion Translation. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Put into practice the example, all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Isn't that an amazing scripture? This is something you can take into your week this week. He's for you, not against you. He'll take you through this. You'll get through this, and you'll come out on top. Because he's the God who puts you on top. He said he'd make you the head and not the tail. He'd make you to be above only and not beneath. That's the covenant promise from Deuteronomy. But the Bible says that we have a new covenant based on better promises. So let's believe and trust in our covenant-keeping God. So let's close by praying the prayer of peace. You can just repeat after me. I'll try to break it into pieces so that we can do it this way. Let's pray. Let's say, Lord, we now pray for our nation, for our leaders, for Congress, for the military, and for our allies. Please give them your wisdom according to your word. We turn these world situations over to you. And we thank you for peace coming into the place of large-scale war. We cast down any and every thought that tries to frighten us and steal our peace. In the name of Jesus. And by his authorization, we pray this prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.